the Boston players mobbing.
But Michael Jordan is not only the best basketball player, but he's the most exciting basketball player to ever play.
Tatum fires away, pumps it in.
The Big Three NBA Podcast is powered by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Network.
It is that time of the year. This is the Big Three NBA Podcast, and the Celtics regular season is officially over. We're on to the playoffs. A'Shaun Blakely, Gary Washburn, I'm Kwani Lunis. The Celtics capping off their regular season with that 132-122 win over the Wizards on Sunday afternoon. Pritchard nearly with a triple-double, 38 points. Really, like we were talking, Sherrod, not even the G League was on the floor for Boston, to be honest. But again, a great performance to close out the season. What are you two thinking when it comes to just reflecting on the 82 games that they've had?
Well, first off, I'm glad that they made it through this health-wise in good shape. Because, I mean, that really is the number one priority. Peyton Pritchard, he does what good ballers are supposed to do, man. If you got some busters out there, bust them. That's why they're busters. You bust them. And he did that all game long. So that was good to see. Other than that, I mean, I'm not really feeling a whole lot because, again, and Gary will probably get into this a little bit, we still don't know who the hell they're going to play in the first round.
That's a good point.
And great. We'll talk about some of the different possibilities that they may face. But, you know, for the Celtics, it's just like this was a point where you want to make sure that you have your core guys healthy. It was good to see Jason Tatum out there on the sideline in street clothes, ain't looking like he's ready to ball, which is good because you don't want him in a game like this. Ask the Milwaukee Bucks what happens when your franchise player plays in a game this late in the season and the risk that you run. The Celtics, they did what they had to do. You know, they won the game. Lots of guys contributed. A lot of non-rotational guys played well. They got win number 64. And this team right now, one of the five greatest single seasons in terms of wins and losses in franchise history. So it goes without saying that it's title or bust for this crew.
Yeah, I thought they did exactly what they're supposed to do. They beat two really bad teams. And it was kind of surprising because, like, the Wizards played, like, a couple of starters, you know, Dinji Avita and Corey Kispert. Like, they weren't playing completely terrible players or guys that were G Leaguers. Johnny Davis is a former first-round pick.
And he was, wasn't he?
Anthony Gill, who's kind of a guy who can play a little bit. Like, they were playing guys who were not terrible players, and the Celtics still really kind of led most of the way. And it wasn't just all like Sam Howell. I was a Pritchard scoring 38 points. He was the best player on the floor. And I think that says a lot about him. But I just thought the way to close out the season, after losing two in a row, you get two wins, you get everybody healthy, everybody feels good. Now it's time to prepare. And like Sherrod said, they're not going to find out till late Friday night who their playoff opponent is. The one thing about the play-in tournament, it gives a disadvantage to the number one seed because you're waiting so long to find out who you're playing. Now, you're playing a team that's had to win two games, and who knows who it's going to be, and we can talk about those possibilities the next segment. But to me, it was just a good way to end the season. Just, you know, no drama. I think it was a slightly tweaked ankle from Xavier Tillman. He left the game. The minute he was limping, they were like, okay, you're done. Like, no, we're not throwing you back out there. Mazzulla said after the game that he was okay. So we'll see if that lingers on into the week. They have, Monday off, and they have Wednesday, Thursday off. So they practice three times before game one on Sunday at the Garden. So we'll see if they're prepared. I mean, you know, they said all the right things last year. This year they're saying, hey, we'll be ready. We're not going to let our first-round opponent take us too far, and we're not going to do, you know, we ain't playing no games this year. Let's see if they mean it, and, I mean, I think this is the team to do it.
Let's just look at the Eastern Conference before we narrow down the possibilities of the teams that the Celtics will be playing, the New York Knicks leapfrogging the Milwaukee Bucks. From your two perspectives, which of the fact that Milwaukee is now 3 and New York is 2, which of those teams do you think have a bigger impact on the way the Eastern Conference could potentially shake out?
What you got, Gary?
I say the New York Knicks. They're playing well. Milwaukee, I watched a lot of their game today against Orlando. They couldn't score. Like, they just did not look engaged. I know it was without Giannis, but they played all the rest of their guys, Lillard, Portis, Middleton. They were trying to get that number two seed, and Orlando just basically shut them down. And I mean, they're coming into the playoffs with zero momentum. I mean, I don't know what to make of the Bucks in terms of now they get Indiana, a team I think that's beaten them four times this year, right? Indiana's got their number. That's a rivalry there. So that would be a very, very interesting series, contentious series to watch. Because those two teams do not like each other. Remember the game ball thing with Giannis chasing some dude down? Like, all that's gone on. And Indiana's had their number. Indiana beat them in the in-season tournament. So if you're the Bucks, you're not going in with momentum, and you're playing a team, your defense is not good, and you're playing a team that can score 150 points. So the Knicks, I was completely impressed with their effort. They play hard. Will those guys get worn out, in a series because Tibbs plays those guys heavy minutes? But I just like their chemistry, man. They got teamwork. They're not like past Knicks teams where they were just – some guys are probably looking forward to their next contract. It seems like all those guys like playing for Tibbs. They like playing in New York. That's a big deal. Some guys don't like playing in New York. Some guys ready to move on to the next stop. This team – very, very cohesive. They play well together. Brunson's the straw that stirs the drink. So I think they're a dangerous club. But in all honesty, guys, if that's the second best team in the East and the Celtics are 4-1 against them this year, you got to like the Celtics' chances. This is like the Celtics got to just get out of their own way in the first round. I like their draw. The winner of Cleveland, Orlando in the second round, if they get past the first round, I mean, you know, two teams that they should be able to beat in five games, I would say. Orlando's not the team that has been real physical. They've had a little drop off, and Cleveland has not played well at all. That was interesting. Cleveland kind of blowing their chance at the number two seed, losing to Charlotte. Orlando making it all the way to the fifth seed. I don't think we expected that. And so I think now the Celtics, they see the road ahead of them. Now it's time to take care of business. But I think the Knicks are the team that they have to look out for and keep in their rearview mirror. That would be a really interesting Eastern Conference Finals if we get there.
See, here's the thing. I'm going to take a little bit of a more circuitous route than our good friend here.
Okay, Eric. SAT word.
Shout out to my SAT prep.
Circuitous.
Back in the day.
You spell that word. You can't spell that. What? Fortuitous.
Scholar.
Me, Gary. Listen, here's the thing about what we're seeing now. While New York has played their way to be the second best team, I still think Milwaukee will have a bigger impact on the playoff series. And hear me out. They're going to open up against Indiana, right? Indiana, I think, will at a minimum take them to 6 or 7 games. A lot will just depend on whether Giannis is able to play. And if he is able to play some, they'll win that series. But it's going to take a lot out of them to do that. And New York will be waiting around the corner. I think Milwaukee will give New York a good go. But they're going to make New York work really hard to get to that next round. And the point that I'm trying to make is whoever the Celtics see once they get to the conference finals, because that's what we're talking about here when you talk about Milwaukee, New York, that team is going to have to work so much harder than Boston will have worked to get there. And because they're going to have to work so much harder, and because Boston on paper is a better team, I have this weird feeling that as the playoffs roll along, Boston's road to get there is going to get easier. Like that first round matchup, I think is going to be the toughest one that they see. Because more likely than not, they're going to have to deal with either Philadelphia or Miami. And if they could have had Joel Embiid for five more games, they're probably number two seed. So in theory, the Celtics, you're probably playing the second or third best team in the Eastern Conference in the first round. Get past them, you're looking at what? Orlando, Cleveland? You should be able to disperse them in no more than 6 games. And if you get to the finish line in the East where you've got a beaten-up, battered-up Milwaukee team or a beaten-up, battered-up New York team, who, by the way, won't have – they're at some point, not having Julius Randle is going to really impact them. If you're Boston, the road has been – you could not possibly ask for an easier ride throughout the playoff journey than what they're going to get. It's going to start off a little rough with that first round matchup, but it gets progressively, I think, easier for you to move on to the next round going forward. So Milwaukee, and it all starts with Milwaukee. It all starts with Milwaukee slipping down to that three spot and facing what I, and Gary, you're spot on about this. This is the absolute worst matchup that they could have got. This is the worst draw they could have got in the first round. And that being said, I feel even better about the Celtics' chances of getting to the finals now when I look at just the way the playoff seedings are going to work out. Because, again, you want to be playing your best basketball as you get deeper into the postseason. And the way this playoff schedule is set up, they're going to be playing teams that they're going to be, I think, match up better with as they get further into the playoffs, which is unusual because usually it's the other way around. The further you get, the harder the matchup is. I don't think that'll be the case this year, though. That's the circuitous route of Milwaukee being important for the Celtics as they make their journey through the playoffs, Gary.
Circuitous.
So let's take a look at what the plan actually looks like.
Never mind, I ain't going to spell it for him.
What? Oh, because you have to look it up, of course, right? That's why.
No, I know how to spell. Go ahead. Keep going, Kwani.
Okay.
Prize Picks is America's number one sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Now get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make a pick and submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and for his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit matchup to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks.
So the play-in tournament, Wednesday night, the Eastern Conference play-in teams will match up against each other. Number 19 Bulls, 10 seed Hawks, 7 seed Sixers, and 8 seed Heat. We don't know who the Celtics will play yet, obviously, but the winner of Bulls and Hawks and then the loser of Sixers Heat, they match up. Then we find out what exactly is going on, who the Celtics are playing. But as of now, from those 4 teams, who do you two think is the most ideal opponent for, of course, the Celtics to be able to take that first round?
Well, the Celtics to have a cakewalk, you want in the park. Atlanta. You want Atlanta.
Interesting choice.
I know Atlanta has played well against the Celtics, but of those 4 teams in a playoff type situation, you're going to want the Hawks. Chicago is the one team I don't have a feeling one way or the other for. I think you could, that to me, Chicago could be one of those series where you sweep them. Yeah, or you go 6 or 7 games. I don't have a good feeling about that, especially when I think about guys like DeRozan, you know, think about Vooch. They've got some good players. I mean,
DeRozan's daughter on the court side.
Right, right. All of a sudden, Jason Tatum goes from like a 92% free throw shooter to like a 78% shooter because of his daughter screaming.
A child.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, my gut tells me that the team that they're going to wind up playing will be Miami. I think Philadelphia is going to take that matchup and just take that 7th spot. And Miami, I think, will actually dispatch of whoever emerges from Chicago, Atlanta. And so then you're looking at the Miami Heat in that first round. That's and again, for the Celtics and their ability to go deep into the playoffs, I think that's a good matchup, not only in terms of the opponent, but also to kind of exercise some demons that have been residing in their heads. I mean, to me, this is a way to put that real estate that Miami has in your head, Boston, out the dough. This is the eviction note. This is where you can give them that eviction notice and get them out of, stop renting space in your head.
Yeah, I think that obviously you would like Atlanta, Chicago. The Celtics have beaten them all 4 times this year. I think 3 times this year, Chicago has a bunch of veteran guys that you know, and they're playing well late, so they wouldn't be an easy slam dunk. But I think you would probably say Atlanta. Atlanta's a team that I think played well in those 2 games, but they're not together. They're not good enough to beat the Celtics or take them to 7 or 6 games, I don't think. But the most likely opponent, like I said, like the game to look out for, folks, is if Miami loses at Philadelphia, that's Chicago-Miami game. They played last year in the play-in when everybody thought Miami was trash. Miami came back. I think they were down 15. They came back in the fourth quarter and hung on, and then they went on that run. So Chicago's going to have some payback. That game would be at Miami. I think the Bulls have always, for whatever reason, matched up well with the Heat. So that's not going to be an easy game for the Heat. I don't think they're going to, you know, I think they'll struggle with Philadelphia. But, you know, if they lose that game, I don't think they're going to smash Chicago like that. I think that'll be a very tough game for Miami. So that game, and then if you get Chicago, you know, that's a team that could probably beat you once, maybe twice if they, you know, if DeMarcus, they got some dudes, right? But they have a losing record. The Celtics have pretty much handled them this season. So the road, and I do agree with Shirai, that first round matchup might be the toughest, might be the most, you know, mentally tough, because if it's Miami especially, or if it's Chicago. You know, I like Cleveland and I like Orlando. They're good young teams, but are they good enough to beat you in a 7-game series? Unless you slip, no. Unless you just don't have it, no. I do think that you have an opportunity to win that second round series pretty easily. So if I'm the Celtics, I think that the toughest series is going to be that first round series, and it could likely be Miami. And I think that fans have to not think, oh, this is the same Miami team. This is not the same team, but they're capable of playing well. They're capable of biting you. So the Celtics are probably going to need to exercise those demons right away.
Well, and if it's Miami, Gary, the one thing that I'll say to add on what you're talking about is that when they've struggled against Miami in the past, it's usually been an X factor that they didn't really know / didn't respect as well as they should have. And that player for Miami now is Terry Rozier. And they know Terry. They respect Terry. They know what he can do. That's one of the reasons why I think they are going to have a different type of mentality going into that if they have to play Miami than they would have, you know, last year when, you know, they made Caleb Martin look like Ray Allen 2.0. Terry Rozier, they know they have to respect. Terry Rozier, they know, can bust them for 25, 30 points easily. That's going to bring out a different level, I think, of engagement and focus. I think we'll see them play at the focus level from what we've seen most of this season. Whereas I think in the past, it seems like they may have taken Miami a little bit for granted, thinking that they could just out-talent them and that would be enough. They're gonna have to be mentally tougher against Miami. I think having Terry Rozier on the floor opposite them, it's going to reinforce that need to be more focused, because they know Terry coming at them. They know how he operates. They know how T-Rose get down. That's going to help the Celtics. That is absolutely going to help them in terms of keeping them locked in on the job that needs to be done.
Well said. So we already kind of talked about Milwaukee and Indiana, and obviously Giannis' status being uncertain for that matchup right now. But Cleveland versus Orlando, if Boston advances past the first round, they'll face the winner of that series. Who would you take the next round? I know we're just thinking so far ahead, but why not?
Who you got, Gary?
Cleveland, Orlando. I really have not watched those two teams play this year. You'd like to think Cleveland, but that's a toss up to me. That really is. Orlando's a brutal, tough defensive teams. Banchero's a beast, man. That dude's a real, just a big behemoth in the paint, just big, strong, can shoot from the outside, get to the rim. And they got a bunch of guys, the Wagner brothers, you know, Jalen Suggs, Greg Anthony's son. Jonathan Isaac's been a factor, even though, you know, he's not a guy who can play a whole lot of minutes, and he's kind of a delicate guy, but man, that dude can defend. I probably give the edge to Cleveland still with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland and, you know, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. I think they got the dogs, and I think they really felt, how do I put this? They were really hurt and disappointed in their performance last year against the Knicks, losing in five. Like they had home court advantage, and the Knicks pushed them around. Knicks didn't play no games with them. And to me, I think they're up to try to prove that this is different. Yeah, in Orlando, an inexperienced team, a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in a few years, so they might show that inexperience in this series.
I'm going to go with Orlando, man. I've seen them play a little bit more than Cleveland, and I like what I see. That team, this is one of the benefits of being youthful. Sometimes it's best that you don't know what you should know. Like, they don't know that a team built like them should go out there and get smoked in the playoffs. That you're too young. You don't have the experience. You don't have this. You don't have that. Here's the thing they do have. They got Banchero, a absolute all-star baller. The Wagner brothers, who are low-key, certainly top two. I think they're better than the Lopez brothers at this point. At this point in their careers, as far as brother tandems. Jalen Suggs, as you mentioned, Gary, he's a baller. And to me, and you touched on this earlier, and Jonathan Isaac, to me, is the wild card guy. Because if they can get to the point where he can give you 20-ish minutes, which I don't think that's going to happen, but if you could ever get to the point where he can give you 20-ish minutes, and he's done that a little bit in the playoffs, late in the regular season, he becomes a major disruptor, to Cleveland. Because defensively, he can pretty much guard 1 through 5. And offensively, if he can knock down a few shots, and he's gonna rebound, because that's one of the things he does a really, really good job with, he could be that guy that when you're talking about this matchup, you're going to need someone who's going to be a 3 to 5 point difference maker. And that's like a guy that's either going to get a bucket that he probably shouldn't, or is going to cause a turnover or get a stop or do something to disrupt the other team from running their offense or finishing a playoff. He's that impactful. And that's why in a best of seven, I'm going to go with Orlando, because I just think that they're so young and talented that they don't realize that they're supposed to have growing pains. They just know that we're one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the East, and we need to play like it. So I'm rolling with them, because I just think that they're a little bit deeper, and I think that they're going to benefit from not knowing what young teams typically struggle with dealing with.
Well, that's enough speculation, because now it's time to just watch it all play out. But before we wrap up, from the two of you, what was your favorite part about the regular season this year?
I would say non-basketball was earlier with Mike Gorman Day. I enjoyed that. I love seeing people get their flowers when they can enjoy them. We don't really do enough of that. And if you've been doing this damn thing for 43 years the way Mike was, you should get a damn floral arrangement garden. Store.
A botanical garden.
Yeah, you should get your own. Yeah, you should have your own zoo with that. I mean, it was really good to see all the different, you know, individuals within the Celtics organization. We saw Doc Rivers, Danny Ainge, just lots of different folks chimed in to congratulate him on just
what Larry Bird gave a quote, which was big.
What's that?
Larry Bird had a quote. We didn't see it on the video, but like a quote was sent from Larry Bird, which I thought was a big deal.
Yeah, because Larry don't say much about
anything. He doesn't say anything.
So that gives you some idea of just how important Michael's been. So, I mean, non-basketball related, that's probably been the coolest thing. On the court, I would say for me, it has been the transformation we've seen in Peyton Pritchard. That's been one of the coolest things for me to see, because this is a dude that asked to be traded, wanted out. And we're not going to get into why he caught no flack over that, because I thought he should have caught some heat for that. But he caught no heat for that. And so what do the Celtics do? They get rid of the sixth man of the year. They get rid of a former NBA defensive player of the year to essentially create some minutes for him. They bring in a perennial all-star in Jrue Holiday. And what does Peyton Pritchard do? He goes out and puts together his best season as a pro. Makes the most of his opportunities to get buckets. And it's not just a recency bias thing where he dropped 38, against the Wizards. Most people can drop 38 against the Wizards. So that in itself wasn't all that impressive. But what was more impressive was just the command that he had of the entire game, and the fact that that's consistent with what we've seen with him when he gets on the floor and he gets decent amount of minutes. So I'm curious to see if he can continue along that path in the playoffs, but just his development and growth and making the most of his opportunity. To me, that's been one of the coolest things about this season.
It's a good one.
I'm going to say the additions of Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, and just the the refreshing aspect or atmosphere around this team. I think some changes were in store, and I'm not blaming anybody in particular, but obviously they traded Marcus. Malcolm, as much as Malcolm's a professional, there was always probably I should be starting, I should have a bigger role, and then the whole mysterious elbow injury and all that. I just think maybe his aura wasn't quite right for this team. And then I miss Grant, but you know, it was something
Grant fan club, G Money. Yeah,
but they felt like something they had to do. I think bringing in guys like Porzingis, who just brings a great energy. He loves playing in Boston. You know, today he's at the arena. He comes out, you know, Kristaps, yay! He plays and he loves it. A couple of guys come with Latvian jerseys. He takes pictures with them after the game. You know, he doesn't big time anybody. He doesn't. Doesn't take himself too seriously. He enjoys this process. He's one of those guys that has said, "Listen, I've played in bad franchises or teams that just had a stench around them.
The team they played on Sunday.
Yeah, the Wizards or the Luka Dallas Mavericks when young Luka, when he was probably a little bit more selfish and he didn't really get along with Luka very well. And then those Knicks teams were win. If not, you're a loser and you're the back page of New York Post as a bust. And he comes here and it's like, they don't ask him to do all that much. I mean, do a lot, but not like, okay, we need you to be MVP All-Star. No, we need you to protect the rim, hit shots, run the floor. We're going to give you the proper rest. And so I just think his energy has made a huge difference in that locker room. And along with Drew, who's just a quiet leader. Drew's a guy that you're not going to get a lot of words out of him, and I'm sure privately on the buses and stuff he'll talk, but he's about, hey, I'm about ball and my family, you know, my kids, my wife, my fam, and my hoop. That's it. And I like being around. I mean, for him to say, I like being in Boston, I like the atmosphere, him to sign a 4-year deal, I think says a lot, right? Because some people aren't sure about playing in Boston. They don't know about the pressures. They only know what they hear. So I just think that those two additions made this team better. And I'll jump on board with Sherrod in terms of like the development of Luke Kornet, the development of Peyton Pritchard, development of Sam Hauser, right? I think their bench got better. You know, Nemeas Keita just kind of coming out of nowhere and being a guy that people root for. So to me, you know, I think that just that Porzingis thing, I think is really, really made a difference. Off the floor, the Gorman thing was great. And the Celtics always do a great job of celebrating themselves. And I'm gonna mention the naming of the media hall at the press facility after Heather Walker.
Yeah.
I thought that was probably one of the more touching. I very much miss Heather. Think about her a lot, seen her kids and her husband at the games, a couple of games this year. And I'm glad they're hanging in there. The girls, you know, her daughters are hanging in there because to lose your parents and when you're a teenager, you don't want that. You don't want that at all for anybody. And to lose a parent, I've lost a parent and that's not easy. And I was a grown ass man when it happened, but to lose your parent in your teens, that's just awful, terrible. But it's good to see them in good spirits, and it's good that Heather gets the honor because we all miss her, we all love her, and we all, you know, just enjoyed working with her. So I'm going to say that it was the highlight of the off the floor, the naming of Heather Walker, the pictures that we'll never, you know, anyone who doesn't know Heather will get to know her in that fashion.
Yeah, no, those are really good.
Gary Washburn.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. I'll add this kind of on the floor and off the floor, but earlier this week, Derek White was named the Red Auerbach Player of the Year for the Celtics, like someone that embodies the spirit of the Celtics, Red Auerbach. But I think on the floor, when you think about the players that the addition to the roster, but also when you look at his story of like the previous seasons, people like, why was he sent here? What is he going to contribute to this team? And really just like growing in his confidence on the floor and becoming a player where you can't really look at this past season without him being there. I think that's just very telling of like the resilience that it takes to be in a league, but also being able to readjust and figure out how you can contribute to a team as big as the Celtics. But also off the court, I have to agree with both of your sentiments. But I think in overall, it's just the honoring of people that have done so much to the sport. And also, unfortunately, with Heather, we were able to give her, we gave her flowers, obviously, before she passed. But being able to honor people that have done, you know, come before us and pioneered, I think, is something that hopefully we can continue to do. So, yeah. That's all I got.
That's good. That's good stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's a wrap on the regular season, though. We appreciate everyone listening. It's not over, though. I'm not shutting anything down.
It ain't even close. It better not be over.
Not even over. Nowhere close. This is just shutting down this episode. We'll be back by next week. We should know who the Celtics will be playing in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Until then, thank you for sticking with us, the Big Three NBA podcast. Rayshard Blakely, Gary Washburn, I'm Kwani Lewis.